Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Here I am, and back to Elaine Stevens in just a moment. And a question from St. Thomas, all the way out in the Virgin Isle, U.S. Virgin Islands. Let me talk to you for 3-8. All right, Elaine, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. From St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgins. Dear Art Bell, has your noble guest read the Spy Magazine 895 article about mind control?
Gee, no, I'm sorry, I haven't.
Okay. I've not either, so I guess we can't do much with that. From Joe in Sutherland, Oregon. Hi, Art. Could you ask your guest two questions? One, are there souls which are older than other souls?
Yes, there probably are. I don't believe that there is anyone on this planet at this time who's never been here before. Is a brand new soul. I think the vibration that we live in is too intense, and I don't think that someone who hadn't practiced being in this vibration could handle it.
Huh. So there are no new souls.
I don't think so. Not right now.
Not right now. Are our lives always linear, or when we die, could we come back in the past as well as the future?
Ooh. Oh, good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to that one. Back to Einstein.
Well, that's a good answer. Look, if you don't know the answer,
yeah.
I don't want you to even try, and I agree with you. That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Have you found, through your subjects, any so-called order to how, who, and when we return to this corporeal life, and if this process is voluntary by those, quote, brought back, end quote, question mark?
Yes, there is a process involved. It seems from many of the sessions I've done that the person, the soul, there is a meeting with master beings, if you will.
Yes.
And the lessons that need to be learned are discussed. And the person chooses the group of people they will have as family, as friends, people who will affect them deeply, and they put themselves back into a situation where all of that is possible.
All right. Now I'm going to get you into trouble, I'm sure.
Oh, good.
From the Bible, and I don't frequently quote it, Hebrews 9:27.
Mm-hmm.
It is appointed for men to die once, but after this comes the judgment. It doesn't say anything about coming back again.
Well, then we have to go to the Council of Nicaea, when all reference to reincarnation was removed from the Bible, because it's very difficult to control people who believe that in fact they are learning to perfect themselves and will come again.
All right, back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Good evening.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And I had two questions. First of all, how does she explain the fact that there's more people on Earth today than have ever died in the history of the world?
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, what is the ultimate point? If we keep on coming back and back to learn certain lessons, to progress to what?
To a form of perfection or godliness or whatever.
Well,
this is a schoolhouse. I kind of view these lives that we live as an opportunity to learn. It's a schoolhouse.
It's a schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Toward the eventual goal of perfection?
Yes.
All right. Now his first question. It's
a long way from that point.
Well, the first question he gave you was a good one, and that is, there's a lot of people. Caller, how many? 5-6 billion people?
Yeah, roughly 6 billion.
Like
I would assume.
So there are new people here all the time, more people. If there are no new souls, then obviously the question is, where are these souls coming from?
Well, consider that at the moment of creation, whatever that might be, and now we're really getting out there, but there were X number of souls created. We have the history of the world as we know it based on what we know now.
That's true.
But we don't really have the whole history of the world. We have little 10,000-year gaps in the history of the world.
Boy, it's true.
And so it's hard to say, oh, well, absolutely, this is concrete and it couldn't be so. I don't know. I really don't know.
It's a good answer, though, and it's at least an answer. Thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you.
All right. It is an answer. In other words, we don't know the composition. There are a lot of people, Elaine, who believe that the world has had at various times civilizations on it,
mm-hmm.
Been populated to the degree we are now or even to a greater degree, and they have literally disappeared.
Vanished, exactly.
Vanished. So you think that could be?
That it makes more sense to me than anything else, but obviously we have no way of proving that. It's one more interesting theory.
West of the Rockies, hi, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens.
Yes, good evening, Art and Elaine.
Where are you, sir?
I can answer that one easy enough.
All right.
I can't tell you who I am.
That's fine.
Out of Chico, California.
Okay.
Elaine, the way I understand or seem to equate what is going on, seem like we're in constant turmoil with ourselves. We have a biological birth to which we follow DNA genetics, and we go on and we live a routine, okay? We call that family traits. Then on the other hand, we have what we are, like, discussing tonight, past lives, which we could have been from anywhere. And then when we live the present, the conscious, we are in turmoil and do not know. Things that I do have, I wish I could sidebar with you. I'd love to tell you who I am or have been told and where we could explore this.
Well, we could do
not
that.
Not over the air.
We could do that without the court reporter, perhaps.
Take this lightly, Art.
I understand. Does this come, sir, does this come to a point? Do you have a question for her?
What does she feel about the idea of, like I said, the conscious versus the physical entity, and yet we're in turmoil? I mean, the physical entity, we live a DNA trait, versus the complex and the confusion that we're subconsciously. See, this is where I can't put it together, how this soul comes.
Well, if you can't put it together, then we're having a hard time getting it. I'm not clear on the question, are you, Elaine?
No, I'm not yet.
I said this is a little more involved than just 3 minutes over the air.
All right, I'll tell you what, do this. Elaine, he needs to write you a letter or
mm-hmm.
get his thoughts together, talk to you in some other way. Now,
right.
Obviously, you've got a book, Whispers of the Mind. That's a great title, by the way.
Thank you.
It implies, let me guess at what it implies, that these whispers in our current mind come from past or future lives. Is
mm-hmm.
is that where that came from?
Yes. I sat up one night until midnight with a friend who's a writer, conjuring up that title, and we hit on that and loved it.
You conjured very well.
Thank you. All right.
I'm writing a book myself, and I'm trying to think of a title, and it's no easy job.
No, it's not.
Okay. How do they get Whispers of the Mind, or how do they get in contact with you?
Well, Whispers of the Mind is no longer available in bookstores. It's been that horrible world for an author, remaindered. So what they need to do is contact me personally. I have copies available.
Okay.
And I can be reached at P.O. Box 477, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. And my phone number, if anyone would like to call...
No, wait a minute. Hold it.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to let you give out your phone number, but I want you to be aware that you're giving this number to a lot of people. So,
won't that be fun?
Go right ahead. The phone number is...
Area code 702...
Yes.
322...
Uh-huh.
5788.
702-322-5788.
Yes.
And you're in Virginia City, Nevada.
Yes. My office is in Reno, but I'm in Virginia City.
Well, there you go. I hope you like being on the phone.
Yes, I love it.
All right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm calling from California.
Okay. Turn your radio off, please.
I did, just now.
All right, good.
I hope you're still on the line. I just dropped my phone.
Yes.
This is an extremely interesting evening that you're having.
Yes.
And I certainly can identify with a lot of things that she's talking about. I have been there and have been told that I'm a very old soul. And there are things that I know. I'm a teacher by profession. I have done an awful lot of other things by choice, and I have developed a very working inner life that has been more instructive, because there are things I know that I have no way of knowing in my present state that I know, if you understand what I mean,
mm-hmm.
in recall of facts, figures, blah, blah, blah. My question is, I'm an adopted person.
Uh-huh.
Now we're going into a whole different segment of society, plus the fact of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we reconcile the fact of her statement a while ago that we choose the environment into which we go to live?
Well, I can say to you that being adopted has probably affected your life at deeper levels than probably any other event you've experienced. And I think at a soul level, you chose not to live with your natural mother or father in this incarnation. And you chose to do that because in the circumstances you would be placed through the adoption, those things that both they and you needed to learn could be learned. And furthermore, that your mother, your natural mother, who for whatever reason was not able to keep you and raise you, she too was affected at such deep, deep levels. And it's to me a further indication of the fact that there is a tremendous rhythm or rhyme or reason for the things we experience.
Okay, I've got another hard one for you now.
Oh, goody.
I bet. Most of us on the planet lead fairly mundane lives. I mean, very few of us are President Nixon or...
thank God.
Or President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just learned about your politics. I didn't hear no God after that. Or, for that matter, any other.
I thought I better shut up.
In other words, we're not great people. We're good people, most of us, but not
mm-hmm.
great. And a lot of these people who call themselves channelers.
Oh, yes. I love
them. Or sometimes hypnotherapists. inevitably will tell people that seems to please, stuff that pleases them. You know, you were Peter the Great in a previous lifetime. And there's too much of that going on. It is suspicious, frankly. It makes me suspicious.
Makes me irritated. I'm glad you're only suspicious.
I see.
Well, once again, my feeling is one of our little problems as humans is that we have wonderful egos.
Yes.
And some of us love to have those egos fed, spoon-fed, minute by minute. And
mm-hmm.
if we can find someone... who closes their eyes and changes their voice a bit and starts warbling about some great and wonderful thing that we once were.
Yes.
We're very happy to pay them a lot of money to hear that.
That's right. We just soak that right up. All right, Elaine, that's a good answer to the question. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Elaine Stevens is my guest. Many of you healthy zero. Back now to Elaine Stevens. Are you there, Elaine?
I'm right here with you.
All right. Well, you've been really good because I've been hitting you with some really hard stuff.
Well, thank you.
It's kind of like when your son or daughter begins asking you how high is the sky. These are not easy questions. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. Where are...
St. Louis, Missouri.
All right.
Or I think the movie you might have been talking about earlier was Manchurian Candidate.
Thank you.
That's it. I remember that.
Very good movie. I was going to talk about this past life regression. I've done a couple of things in reference to that. You were talking about mirrors, and I don't know if you're talking about, you were talking about candles, and there's a thing that you can do with a mirror next to you, and you stare at the candle, and you keep your eyes open for about 45 minutes, and in that, I started to fall asleep, but before I did, I saw an old Chinese man. I also did hypnotherapy with a man named Santosh. I don't know if you're familiar with him. And in that, I saw myself as an African chief. Now, the strange thing with many wives, and the strange thing about that, I went to Bombay about a year later, and I saw a man by the name of, well, he's called the Shadow Reader, and what he is, he's a direct descendant of Bhrigu, who lived at the time of Krishna. And what he does is he measures your shadow, and in that, he saw that my past two lives, I was an African chief with 300 wives. And
You know, here we go. Now, see, this is a perfect example of what I was just talking about. An African chief, not one of the tribe, but the chief with 300 wives.
Yes.
Now, to me, this sounds more like a fantasy than it does a real past life.
Could I say one thing, though, Art?
Yeah, sure.
I had seen this a year before when I was out in California,
uh-huh.
And I went to a man in Bombay, and I'd never said anything to this man before. He was a Hindu.
Yeah.
And he said exactly the same thing. That was the interesting part of it.
Well, that is interesting. You're
and
right.
Of all the past lives, who would ever think of anything like that?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I have one question for you about
sure.
This life. Are you married?
I used to be married.
Used to be married. All right. All right.
One other thing you were talking about in reference to light, there's two very good books, and one man who you would be great to have a guest on, which is Carlos Castaneda, which talked exactly
yes,
about
yes,
what you're talking about.
Oh yes, I've read him, of course.
And did you read The Fire from Within?
Not yet. I
read that, and he will talk to you about seeing light and everything else.
All right, sir. I've got to run. Thank you very much for the call. My point was, with that much experience with marriage, you think in this life he might not be. So is that not an example? I mean, an African chief with 300 wives. One other question, real quick answer, too. A lot of people say people are given to flights of fancy, fantasy, when they're under hypnosis, Elaine. True or false?
False.
Not true, huh?
Not true.
There have been a number of books written. Of course, it implies that hypnotherapy is not trustworthy.
Well, what's not trustworthy is something that comes externally. What is truly trustworthy is what comes from within us. And just as if I wanted to tell tall tales, I could sit and tell them to you out of hypnosis. I could do the same thing in hypnosis.
Well, that's certainly
true.
But
what would be the point, you know?
All right. We'll have to pick up on that when we come back, which we will do in just a moment.
This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
We continue now with your calls to Dreamland with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
We do, and let's see, I guess the only number I need to get out again is our East of the Rockies number. It's not normally on the tapes for Dreamland. If you're East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. Our bulletin board now. All right, Elaine, back now to Elaine Stevens. And Elaine, Jim in Boise, Idaho has a question.
All right.
Straight out. Have we made contact with intelligent life in the year 2300?
Of course. Of course.
Well,
with intelligent life, I presume he means from other planetary systems?
I certainly presume that, yes.
Yes, yes.
We have.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything at all that you can tell us about them?
I think that they are the same beings that we have contact with in this time. I think that we become more receptive. I know that when I've guided people to past lives, to places such as Atlantis, one regression comes to mind very clearly, and that was of a man who was a sculptor, and in that lifetime, he is a sculptor now, he teaches art at a major university,
mm-hmm.
and in that previous lifetime in Atlantis, he did a sculpture that was conducted in via water throughout the city. And in this lifetime, he was directed at a subconscious level to do a sculpture created of crystals, and that was in the air. And in his memory in Atlantis, there were meetings held, and there were beings from many planetary systems present within those meetings.
Well, so when you said, of course, what you really meant is we've been in contact for a long time.
Forever, yeah.
All right. Dear Art, this is from Wally in Albuquerque. Please ask Elaine, and I'm going to try again on this one, too, why it is that, by and large, we don't have any memories of past lives in our conscious minds. We hear talk of reincarnating because we need more experience in one realm or another. Who says we need more experience in one area or another? And if we don't consciously remember past lives, how do we know what we're supposed to be working on? And I suppose your answer would be by coming to somebody like you.
That would be a wise thing to do. Or getting, of course, a copy of my book, which tells you how to explore past lives. But consider, once again, we go to the subconscious. The memories are in the subconscious. And if we had conscious recall of all of our past lives, we would be in a terrible jumble.
Well, you know, that's true, Elaine, but again, I say, we discussed it earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said it can't be like throwing a switch off. You know, you die, boom, that's it, blackness.
Right.
But in a way, it is. You may survive in the sense that you live on in others' minds who are living. You have offspring, they survive you. And it may be that your soul contributes to your next life in some esoteric way,
mm-hmm.
but you're not conscious, as I understand consciousness right now. You and I are sitting here talking, we're conscious, we know what's going on around us. In that sense, in the next life, you're telling me, on the one hand, we are conscious, but on the other, we're not.
Well,
which is it?
tough one, pushing me to the wall.
Yeah, now. That's right, I'm sure.
Okay, I think that consciousness it can mean many things, and I have consciousness of a conscious memory of many, many past lives.
I know, but you've dug them.
Exactly. And I've done so because it's helpful to me in the present.
Well, all right, would you advise the average person who's having an average life, and they're okay, you know, no horrible habits or anything,
mm-hmm.
nothing really wrong, is there any reason for them to go rummaging back into past lives?
Well, I think so, because if we're just having an ordinary life, as you say, and we're just sort of rocking along, I personally would like to know that there is more to me than the fact that I went to the grocery store this afternoon and got food for the barbecue to... and that I did, you know, all these mundane things. I hope to think that there's dimensions to me that I need to explore, and I need to expand my creative abilities, and I need to expand my mind in as many ways as I can. We get kind of locked into that mundane stuff, and that's dangerous.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Good evening.
Hi, Art. We must have some sort of conscious link going on here right now, because I want to touch on or make a comment directed to your guest.
All right, where are you, Bob?
Poto, Oklahoma, and it was somewhat what you just touched on concerning reincarnation. It has been said that we are remnants from the very first man, and it is consistent throughout the Bible, which I don't want to really bring that up too much, but that there are things passed down from generation to generation to generation, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the subconscious level, which I believe exists, I could, or anybody can, tap into any past life from anybody.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Meaning that if things, from the very first, if we descended from one being.
Oh, that's
I see.
And that is passed down and passed down.
In other words, like a giant tree.
Now, the thing that I want to make, are we reincarnating memories?
Uh-huh.
And I believe that we have to be very careful in that area, because we might bring something back into this life we might not want to deal with.
Good point. Thank you. From Oklahoma. Elaine, is it possible that a past life, a past incarnation, could virtually possess? Is there that danger that?
No.
Are you sure? When you open doors, you never know what's going to walk through.
No, absolutely. This is one of the sort of little sore points with me, because we approach any new knowledge with a certain amount of trepidation or fear.
Sure.
And if we will just remember that knowledge erases fear, how could our mind, if you broke your arm a month ago,
yes,
you would not be able to recreate with your mind the pain that you experienced at the moment of the break.
That's, I did break my arm. So
oh, dear.
many years ago, but you really are correct. I remember, of course, the occasion and the pain, but I cannot.
You can't recreate it.
No, that's true.
Because your mind is designed to protect you. And the same thing holds true. I can't go rummaging in your mind, nor can you, and discover things that would be hurtful to you now. Your mind is designed. It is designed by something far beyond what we can even conceive of to protect us and to support us and to help us. And the minute we set up this, oh, what if I remember I'm Attila the Hun, or what if I remember these horrible things? Well, of course, I don't want to recreate for you the pain in your arm, and I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that as a hypnotist.
You know, though, it's interesting. I've seen hypnotherapists depicted on television, and maybe they do a bad job on hypnotherapists just the way they do on so many other things, but they do make people recreate that moment and feel it, just as if they were there once again.
Oh.
What do you say to that?
I say that, yes, a lot of people go into to explore a past life, and they find themselves very emotionally moved, and they find themselves weeping and re-experiencing something at a deep emotional level. But once again, here's our fear.
What about
fears
the pain? What if Elaine took me back to that moment when I crashed in my hang glider, which is how I did it, and the big arm came down about 2 inches above my my elbow, and broke my arm, but good, compound fracture. Is right. So if Elaine took me back to that moment and I relived that experience, would I relive that pain?
No.
No.
Your mind, you can't sit here now and take,
Not now, not on the conscious level. You're correct. I tried.
But even at a subconscious level, no.
Okay, well, okay.
No.
That's a good answer. First time caller line, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Hi.
Hi, Art. Bonnie in Alaska.
Yes, hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Where in Alaska are you?
First off, I'm a person who's been through past life regression and have verified one lifetime.
Okay, good.
And I'm curious.
Spend your time
as
in life.
To how unusual that is. Is there like a percentage of people that you have worked with that that have experienced that?
It's very unusual, Bonnie, because what happens is we connect to the past life generally at an emotional level, as opposed to, as I said, a historical data level. But I have had a number of people who've been able to do that. As I said earlier in the show, after I got through going to the library, I had enough cases authenticated to resolve the problem for me. Are they making this stuff up? And the answer was no. I did enough research to prove that, and I no longer go to the library. because it's no longer, that's not the issue. That's not why people explore past lives. But it's kind of wonderful for you.
Yeah,
that
I
you're
had to,
authentic.
I had to try it
that
just
must have
once
been exciting.
To make sure it was for real.
Yeah,
and I was able to verify this one.
Uh-huh.
But I had one more quick question. I am one of those people that can be dropped down into the somnambulistic state.
Uh-huh.
And I have
don't
a theory, and I
to
wanted to run it past you. I had one lifetime I experienced that was Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Is it true? Is it possible, this is my own theory,
okay,
that if I could go back and go through that lifetime in a somnambulistic state, that I should be able to speak fluent Japanese?
Right on. Good
yes,
question.
She will.
Oh, she would be able to?
Probably.
Where are you calling from in Alaska?
Wasilla, Alaska.
Wasilla, Alaska. That's a very, very good question. Have you ever observed that ability?
Yes. I've had people lapse into... German was the language that my client lapsed into, and I would repeatedly throughout the session needed to say to him, please speak in English, I do not understand German. And he would revert back to English.
Wow.
And then as he got involved emotionally in what was happening again, he would begin speaking German.
See, I consider that to be, you could do enough research to know the person couldn't speak German. And I'm telling you,
oh, yeah.
I suddenly started hearing German.
Mm-hmm.
The hairs on the back of my neck would go straight.
They did. They did. The hairs on the back of my neck stood straight out.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Hi. I can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
A little. Where are you?
Oklahoma.
Okay, what's your question, huh?
What is your guest, what are his beliefs about abortion?
All right, quickly, Elaine, about abortion. Yeah, what happens to a soul that is,
where pregnancy is terminated?
When does life begin, in other words? Let's begin there, all right?
Tough one again.
Is the soul with the... with a child at the moment of conception, is that your belief?
I believe that a soul has connected and decided to be born through that woman into that family. I do not believe that that soul is in that body. I think they dance in and out, you know, and connect probably at the moment of birth or very shortly thereafter. I don't want to get into the whole issue of abortion.
No, I appreciate the straightforward answer.
Yeah.
And on that, we disagree. Elaine, hold on just a moment. Right back to you. My guest is Elaine Stevens, the subject Future and Past Lives.